Yeah, one of these days I'll figure it out, I promise. But it's not going to be anytime soon, so don't get your hopes up. Okay, let's pray and we'll get rocking and rolling. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just loving us, Lord. I do thank you for today and the meaning of today. And Lord, we know as Christians we're excited every day, but Lord, if it wasn't for today, if it wasn't for the empty tomb, Lord, if it wasn't for you being risen, we wouldn't have any hope, because you'd be just as every other God out of this world, but because of today we have hope, and it's exciting, Lord, and I do pray that we would be excited, we would show our excitement through you, Lord. I do pray for the Passpoint class, Lord. I pray that you just speak today, Lord. I pray for those who are here and those who aren't, for different things. I pray that you would just bless the family activities today, Lord. I do pray for Nick's younger brother, Lord, that obviously that you would heal him, Lord, but at the end of the day that you would be the great physician, Lord, and you'd heal his heart. I pray that you would just use Nick and Kendra as a light to their family, Lord. I also pray for Meredith's aunt, Lord, that you would just once again just heal the cancer, Lord, just take it away. But at the same time, Lord, that they would see that there's a bigger need, and that is just Christ in their life. So I pray that you would just use Philip and Meredith, Lord. I don't think it's a coincidence that you had already appointed them to be there for a time like this. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just use them. Lord, I do pray for everyone who has things going on. I pray for Lauren and the issues that she's having, that you would just manifest yourself, Lord, that you would be the great healer. Lord, I just do pray that there would just be hope today in the way that we live our lives. So, Lord, I pray you just speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. All right. What are you doing?
Meredith. Say hi to Meredith.
Meredith. Oh. I was just talking about her. I can't talk about her now? Okay. It's all good. Okay. Anyway. So here's a little tidbit, because Abby asked me a little bit ago, am I finishing up my six things out of 1 Samuel, right? And so up until this morning, the answer was yes. And so I don't usually change. I don't usually pull an audible. I usually don't do things like this. But even Paige last night asked me, as we're laying in bed, because it seems like the only time that I ever have time to talk to my wife is when we're laying in bed, because we're always running 100 mile an hour every way.
The whole 30 seconds.
Hey, that's a really good 30-second talk. It's a really good 30-second talk. I can't even deny it, right? When I hit the pillow, it's like, it's bedtime. So anyway, Paige asked me, she said, are you finishing up your things tomorrow, or are you doing something Easter-related? And I said, I didn't really plan on doing anything Easter-related, so I guess I was just going to finish it up, you know, just kind of put a bow on it. I didn't know how much time we would have. And so that was the plan. And so I got up this morning, and I went to what we were doing, and I did some more work on it. And I had already basically had it finished, because I was going to finish it last week. And so I flipped over, because today is Easter, and I just wanted to do some reading for myself. I flipped over to Luke. So flip over to Luke, chapter 23-ish, 24. This is where we're going to be. Yeah, that's... Yes. Huh? What'd you say?
23-ish.
Yeah, 23-ish. The end of 23, early 24. So, I was reading for myself, right? Because, you know, we can do that. I actually can get in the Bible just for me sometimes. And sometimes it seems like that's a hard thing to do, because there's everything going on. But I was reading, and as I was reading this, you know, my mind is... I can't ever just read and just like, okay, this is what I'm reading about. Because my mind is always in 5 different places at once. I would say 10, but I'm not that multitasked. So it's always different places. And I'm thinking, because today's Easter, and I'm excited, right? We should be excited. It's the meaning of why we do what we do as Christians, right? And here was my thought. And I hate to say this, but... I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway, because you know me. I'm almost kind of glad, which I shouldn't be glad, but that there's no like first-time guest, like somebody didn't bring somebody like, hey, you should come to Passpoint, right? Because usually if somebody's going to show up to church on Easter, they're going to just come to main service. And so that's what's rolling around in my brain is, you know, we're going to see people today that we've probably never seen before and we'll probably never see again. There's people who, they'll come to church on Christmas and Easter, and I'm like, why is it that that is the way that culture is? Why does it have to be like that? And as I'm reading and I'm just thinking these things, and there were like four things, and there could have been a whole bunch more as I went back through it, but there was like four things that popped out to me. And so I got like four reasons why the church today, or four reasons why the church is no longer relevant. And I'm like, because that's where we're at in society. The church is not relevant. You ask people, you want to come to church? Hey, if you went door knocking last week, you probably had a lot of people that said, no, I'm not into that, right? The church isn't relevant. People don't care. They don't want it. And here I'm going to show you why. Because this is one of the coolest things in the Bible. The story of the resurrection. And then it was just like these couple of these things. First, it was just one of them. I'm like, that's cool. And then I'm reading along. I'm like, that's kind of like another one. And then by the time you get to the third one, I'm like, God's trying to show me something here. And then I'm like, well, I'll put a fourth one on it just so we can have a bow. Because, it helps out, right? And so let's just start reading. Go to verse 50. If you can find chapter 50 of Luke, we've got issues. Verse 50, right? And so I just wanted to read about the resurrection. I'm just excited today, and this is where I started, right? It says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented unto the counsel and deed of them." I think it's cool that they had to throw that in there. Like, he didn't want them to crucify him, but, just so we know. "He was of Arimathea," so this is Joseph of Arimathea. If anybody's ever referencing him, "a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate," which I think is cool because he did something that none of the disciples even did. But you can note that and study it a different day. "And begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down." So he actually got the body down off the cross. This guy was right there. "And took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also..." Can you turn the volume down on that? "And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and behold the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." So... No, you don't. You wouldn't be able to hear it. Okay, so... I lost my train of thought. Okay, so... I never did. Here's another thing, just kind of crazy, and I'm just thinking this. Why they call Good Friday Good Friday? Because nothing good happened on Friday, right? They crucified Christ. Nothing good happened. Nothing good happens till Sunday, right? Nothing good happens till He's resurrected. Nothing good. I just don't understand. Like, why are we giving people Good Friday off? Nothing good happened, right? And so,
people got off Good Friday.
No, nobody had Good Friday off. You're right. That's a good answer. You don't work for the county anymore. Touche. That's a good one. Okay. So here's something I noticed. So on Friday, he gets him down off the cross. He puts him in the tomb, right? Saturday, it says, is the Sabbath. It says that they basically hung out at the house because, they're not supposed to do anything because they're living by the law still. And then so Sunday rolls around and they go back. So chapter 24... It's Sunday, right? It's the good day. So here we go. It says, "Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." Now, who knows what they're thinking at this point, but I'm guessing it's a pretty big rock, right? It's a pretty big stone. And then if you cross-reference this to some other stories, it's guarded, right? There are guards there to make sure that nobody tried to do any funny stuff, right? So you can cross-reference it. We don't have time to do that. So you got to know that it didn't just happen, right? If you want to talk to people who want to challenge the Bible, they'll say that the word they use is swooning, right? And basically means that somebody came and stole him from the grave, or he wasn't really dead, and he got out. Or so basically, they're going to challenge that he didn't really raise from the dead. No, he really did. That's what it says. But we don't really have time to look at all that. But so they came into the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. Like, where did he go? "Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a really cool question, right? The angels say, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen, right? If you like Duck Dynasty, he's gone, right? He's gone. But he's risen. Remember how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. He said that, right? How many times, now this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, how many times do you know what the Word of God says, and it's like, you've read that, and you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Or, oh, maybe I should do that, or whatever. So, here's the first reason why the church isn't relevant anymore in today's society. We seek the living among the dead. We seek the living among the dead. We want to go and find our purpose in life, our goals in life, our reason, our gods, little g's, among the dead. Right? And how do we do that? We seek fulfillment in the world. Right, we'll go to the world and take anything it's got to offer. We seek fulfillment in religion. Right, if we need to, we'll go to church on Easter Sunday morning, right, because that's what religious people do. We'll go and we'll do, you know, it's Lent, right? So, you know, the Catholics, they're all about being holy for 40 days. You know, that only leaves what, like, 320 other days of the year that they can do what they want to do. So something like that. My math's not great, but somewhere along those lines, right? We seek fulfillment in religion. You know, if we decide that, oh, I'm probably not making God happy, we want to go do something religious. Religion drives me crazy. We seek fulfillment in big churches and everything that's entailed with that, right? Big music and big production and, you know, sow a seed, reap a blessing, you know, anything like that. We seek all of those things. We seek the living among the dead. That's what these gals were doing. They're like, we're seeking the living among the dead. They're in there. They're looking for him because, you know, and the angels are like, why are you seeking the living God? They didn't say this. Among in this grave, didn't you know that I told you? He said himself he was going to be raised, and they're like, oh yeah. And that's the first reason why the church isn't relevant today, because we're seeking our fulfillment, our living, right? Everything that we claim is good among things that are dead and are going to burn, right? And when I say that, I say it with all sincerity. There are going to be churches and religions that burn up when Christ comes back because he had nothing to do with it, right? He had nothing to do with it. You know, praise God that I think we belong to a church and we serve a God that he's real enough that I don't have to concern myself with that, right? Praise the Lord. Moving on, because we're just moving on. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Oh, yeah, he did say that. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to 11. Right? Remember, because Judas is dead now. He hanged himself. So there's 11 disciples, and to all the rest. Because there's a whole bunch other than just the 12 disciples. 11 disciples. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, right? You ever heard somebody tell you a story and it's like, that's a good story, but you're crazy. You are nuts, right? There's no way. We got a guy at work that he can tell you stories and it's just like, I would tell you I don't believe you, but you couldn't make something like that up, right? I'm like, you can't, I couldn't make that story up. So, right, really, I got several guys that work there like that, right? They are idle tales, is what they say. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter, because it's always Peter, right? Peter, bold Peter. I love Peter in the Bible because, man, he had just did everything wrong in the chapter before, right? Denied him three times. It was horrible, right? Chapters before. And yet, here's Peter, and he's like, now hang on a minute. I don't believe you. And just so I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to go see. And I'm going to go see before somebody else can get there and do something. So it says, then Peter arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. And departed, so he saw, And he doesn't do anything. He sees it and there's nothing else to do, right? For the first time in Peter's life, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to say. It's just like, wow, he's gone, right? It says he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I can't speak. He wondering in himself. Here's the second reason why the church isn't relevant today. Right, and I could come up with 100 reasons why the church isn't relevant today, but these are some that popped out to me. We don't simply believe the things we see. Peter goes in, he sees that he's gone. The linen clothes that Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him in are laying there. I'm sure they're very nicely laid. I don't know. I wasn't there, but he sees it and he has nothing to say. He has no explanation. Now, remember, this is Peter. He's got an explanation for everything, right? Or he's got an action for everything. He has nothing to say. He has nothing to do. He's just like in wonder of what he's seeing. He's in awe. There's no explanation for it. You know why we don't simply believe the things that we see? We've replaced wonder with explanation. We've replaced the wonder of who God is, of what God does, the fact that the sun comes up every day and it sets every day, and the moon comes up every day and it sets every day, and it's like clockwork, and the trees all of a sudden are green when they weren't last week, right? And that you can put a seed in the ground and it grows, and it's just the wonder of how things just work, how a baby is all of a sudden, if you didn't notice, Abby's pregnant. Like, she showed up. She showed up last night, and I'm like, whoa, Abby's pregnant.
So Chris found out his wife.
2019. The wonder of who God is in this world, and it's just we've replaced wonder with explanation. Science will explain it all away. Science will tell you, oh, it just happens because of this, and it happens because of that, right? And, you know, if science would just get their own dirt, they could figure it out. But they can't. They're using God's dirt to explain it all away. You know, if you've heard the joke, you understand what that means. But we replace wonder with explanation. We put our faith in education over changed lives. You know, and don't get me wrong, but I was talking to somebody the other day, I don't remember where it was, but we were talking about like youth, like our youth here at Heartlander. And I'm like, I think there's a reason that God kind of moved us away from the youth, because I was going to get myself in trouble. Because I'm all about kids going to college. It's great, right? If they're called to it. But why are we more concerned with getting our kids off to college and living the college experience and getting a little bit of education if God's calling them somewhere else? At the end of the day, we need to be following God's calling, right? And that will offend a lot of parents here. No, you're not going to tell my kid that. No, I'm going to tell your kid to follow God. And if that means to college, praise the Lord. But if that means follow him to the mission field first, that's what I'm going to tell him to do, because that's what God's telling him to do. But we put our faith in education and the things that we know and the things that, science says more than what we can see with our own eyes. I can see a changed life. I can see somebody come into the life of an unbeliever, a lost man, and change him from the inside out, and now he's a new creature. I can believe that. But instead, we don't believe the things we see anymore. Peter walks in, and he's like, he's gone. I don't even have anything to say. And that's saying something, because I've always got something to say. And he's gone. And it says he walks away wondering in himself. I think that's the first time Peter ever wondered in himself. He didn't wonder out loud. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But he wonders in himself that what has come to pass, right? We don't simply believe the things we see. The church isn't relevant because the world now, and even the church now, we don't simply believe the things we see. It's all about what we know or what we can know. All right, moving on. I'm going to read this part of the story is kind of cool. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked all these things which had happened. So they're basically talking about everything that's happened the past couple days. Christ getting crucified, now he's gone, right? And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, so they have no idea this is Jesus himself. I don't know how they don't know, but it just they don't know. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, and you walk and are sad? So Jesus says that. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? He's like, everybody knows what just happened. And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these 3 days? And he said unto them, what things? Jesus is like, what happened? Tell me. I want to hear your side of this story. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. It didn't say that they were astonished. The women made them astonished. They should be astonished that Jesus is gone, but just throwing that out there. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found even so as the women had said. We didn't believe him, so we went and looked at ourselves. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, Jesus is like, okay, I'm done listening to this story. Right? And I like the way, because Jesus sometimes, he puts it pretty black and white. And it makes me feel better about the way that I teach the Bible sometimes, because I put it pretty black and white. He says, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. He's preaching at these guys. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it them. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, I've seen this movie before. Right? You ever watched a movie or caught part of a movie and like you've maybe seen pieces of it? And like, I don't know, I don't think I've seen it. And then all of a sudden you see like a scene and it's like, hang on a minute, I think I have seen this before. Right? And it's like, no, I've just seen a movie just like it because they're all the same. Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's all the same thing, right? You know, they're like, hang on, I think I've seen this movie before. He blessed it and break it. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, the light bulb turned on. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, now this is good right here, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? Right, you want to know the third reason why the church isn't relevant anymore? Why it's not relevant in today's society? And here's the thing, the church is relevant. People just don't want to hear it. But this is the wording that the world wants to use. You want the third reason why? We want tickled ears instead of convicted hearts. We want tickled ears instead of convicted hearts. Yeah, I'll go to church, fine. But, you know, you don't go to one of them churches where they preach for like an hour, do you? Because I got like 20 minutes in me. That's all I got. I'll be back next year for another 20. You know? Hey, I'm telling you. They are. We want tickled ears instead of... You want to know why the church isn't relevant? Because you don't give the church time to minister the Word of God to you. I want to get in and get out. I want my ears tickled and I want out. And here's the thing. I'm not even talking about people who come to church once a year. I'm talking about people who come every week.
I'd be a liar if I didn't think that same way when I first started here for like the first probably 3 years.
I want to come in. I want to hear something that makes me feel good. That you know, gives me a little bit of something to think about. But I don't want any kind of heart change. I ain't got time for that. I ain't got no time for that. These guys were like, did not our hearts burn within us? You hear the preaching of the Word of God? It better make your heart burn, right? And I'm not talking about like I'm like feeling like I've got acid in my stomach, right? Because I'm not talking about. I'm talking about that burn, right? I get preached at sometimes. And it's like, man, the only thing I can want to do is go do something. Like, it sets a fire under me. That's why we use that reference. Because there's a burn. There's a burn inside of me that wants to go do something. Right? The vision conference was just here, and you get this burn that you want to go and do something for God. That's what good preaching does. We've replaced preaching with performers. No, preachers with performers. We've replaced preachers with performers. We want guys that want to get up there, tell a good story, right? Paul Harvey would make a really good preacher, right? He'd tell you a good story. Some of you guys don't know who Paul Harvey is. He's gone. No. Totally different guys. Totally different guys. The guy that tells the rest of the story.
Oh,
he's even before my time. I just know of him.
Story?
Yeah. Anyway, no. We want a guy that'll get up, that'll tell a joke, tell a good story, right? And then I work with a guy that every now and then he'll say, yeah, I flipped on the TV yesterday morning. He used to come in on Mondays. He's like, I flipped on the TV, I listened to the old preacher's joke, and then I turned it off. Like, I listened to his joke. I'm like, who cares about the stupid joke? I'm like, the guy you were listening to wasn't going to give you the gospel either, though, so it's probably a good thing you turned it off. But anyway, it has nothing to do. I'm not even going to tell you who he's watching. But it was. But no, it was, you know, we've replaced preachers with performers, right? We want rocking music instead of rocking preaching. I wanna come in. I wanna go to this church that's gonna have, you know, 45 minutes of music, and it's gotta be good rocking music, and 15 minutes of preaching, and we'll be on our way, right? I was flipping through, I think it was Facebook sometime this week, and you know, obviously it's Easter week, so everybody's inviting people to their church, and I don't even remember the church, so I can't feel guilty about throwing it under the bus. But there was a church that they were trying to get people to come to, and like, so there's this video, so it catches my eye because I'm like, so what do the big churches do? I want to know what they do. So they've got a drone flying around the outside of their building, showing how awesome their property is, and then they go cut into, you know, what service is like, and they've got the rocking music with the light show and all that. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. But I'm like, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, man, where's Jesus fit into all this? And I'm all about good praise. You know, I think that we could rock it out. But praise has to be prepping the heart to hear the word, not hitting the concert before we get our ears tickled, right? And so I'm all about good praise. I love good praise. You know, I'm not saying anything about it. But I'm saying, you know, Sunday morning praise, it can even be rocking, but it needs to be get your heart right to hear the word. And if it's anything more or less than that, then you're not doing what you need to be doing. Right? And so anyway, we want rocking music instead of rocking preaching. We've dumbed the church down so much. You want to know why the church isn't relevant? Because we're trying so hard to be relevant that God is nowhere to be found. And they're like, well, I can get that, you know, on Saturday night. I just go to a concert, or I can get that. You know, we're trying so hard, and when I say we, I mean modern day, quote unquote, Christianity, because I think most of them aren't even Christians. I'm not talking about we as Heartland. So, but no, we're trying so hard to be relevant that it's like God is nowhere to be found. And as I watch this, and I'm like, cool, you can fly a drone, and you've got a building. I don't need a building. I had a church service under a tree one time when I was in Nepal. And man, it was hot. And there was a spider this big around that crawled by me. And I was like, whoa. But you don't need a building. You don't need all that stuff. You don't need your rocking music or, you know, praise the Lord if you can have some of that stuff. But Christ has got to be the center. We're not relevant because we've taken... And this is what really hit me hard, and it took me until about now to realize it, because I'm like, this is kind of like, you know, what we try to do. We try to dumb this thing down, and I'm like trying to give it some sort of a title, and like, you know, four reasons, you know, I'm just, at the time I didn't know how many there was going to be. I'm like, just kind of like reasons why the church isn't relevant. And I'm like, huh, coming from the story that makes the church, I'm like, huh, that kind of like really boils it down. Like, I can go anywhere in the Bible and give you some reasons why the church isn't relevant, but I'm like, coming directly out of the story that makes Christianity, Christianity. And this is why we aren't relevant anymore. All right, let's read the rest of it. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And they're like, "What? Are you sure?" I'm sure that's what they're thinking. You know, everybody's heard about seeing him, but I ain't seen him. Makes me think of Thomas, right? I want to put my hand. I want to touch it. I want to feel it, right? That's the Laodicean way. You know, you can say all you want until I can experience it. Verse 36, "And thus as they spake, Jesus himself, I cannot talk, stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And they're like, "Hang on a minute. I know a guy who used to say that." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me." He's talking to Thomas there. If you cross-reference that to different one of the other Gospels, that's what he's talking about. "Handle me. Put your hand in. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye any meat? Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning of me." He's like, "I know you guys are sad. I know you guys are trying to get your mind wrapped around this, but I told you it was going to happen. The prophets have told you. Go back to Moses. All the way, you've known. You just didn't want to hear it." "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Like, it had to happen. It's better for everybody. Like, the word behooved means it's better for, right? It behooved you for this to happen. And they're like, "Are you sure? Because you were here in the flesh, and I think that was better," right? Is what they're thinking. He's like, "It behooved you that this happened." Now get this, 47. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promises of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He's talking about what's going to happen in Acts when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's saying, "Hey, this is going to happen." Then it wraps up. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while they were while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." So he had to come and show himself to them for them to believe that this really is better, right? They never would have believed it. Here's the last reason that God really, like, yeah, that's exactly why, you know, the church isn't relevant. We preach a watered-down version of the gospel. You know, at the end of the day, why when you go knock on your neighbor's door, why when you tell your buddies at work, why when you're trying to live out Christ and people are like, "Why would I want that?" Because we preach a watered-down version of the gospel. We're all about saying what happened to us instead of lives being changed, right? We've replaced repentance with rededication, right? And that phrase offends people. But at the end of the day, we want to say, "Oh, yeah, I was kind of, my life was all messed up, but I rededicated, and then I'll do the same thing next week because I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to have the same sin, and it's the same cycle of sin." No, it's sin, right? And he calls it just like it is. And I closed my Bible. I don't know why. He calls it just like it is. He says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached." It doesn't say that should be talked about. It says somebody should get up and preach about these things, right? You want to know what you won't find at the church with the drone flying around and the rocket music and everything else? They're not going to be preaching about repentance. They're going to tell you, "Repeat after me, and we'll get you saved." What's the problem? You can't get nobody saved. Christ can, though. We preach a watered-down version of the gospel. We've replaced repentance with rededication. We've taken Jesus out of the gospel. completely. And you might be like, no, you know, we say we're living for Jesus. His name's on the door. Well, that's the only place His name is. You know, the gospel says that Jesus died and was buried, just like the story says, and He rose again the third day. Right? That's the gospel. The gospel isn't just do the best you can and God will help you through it. That's a load of crap. I'll dumb it down for you. Right? Yes, you should live according to this book as best you can. But that's because you're trying to be like Him. Not because you're trying to earn His grace and favor. The gospel says He took care of all that. And you want to know why the church isn't relevant? Because we're trying to dumb it down so much that all of a sudden Jesus isn't even there. Coming straight out of the story that says that Jesus is there. You know? And so those are just some reasons, man. Guys, we can't preach a watered down version of the gospel. If you're going to share the gospel with somebody, call it like it is. The gospel excuse me. The gospel is offensive. And you're like, what? Because you know what it does? It says, you're not good enough. Christ is. If you'll accept Him, He'll get you there. And it's like, well, that's offensive. I am good enough. I can live good. No. The gospel's offensive, right? Does that mean we shouldn't share it? No. It means we should share it more often, right? We live in a world where we're so afraid of offending somebody that, you know, the gospel's offensive. So I'm going to go preach it, right? Not because I want to offend people, because I want... Man, I've said it like every time that I've taught this week, right? And there's been a few times. And the old boy that was telling the story about the dog and the squirrel, right? Man, the thing that he said that it's just like, I just want to interrupt people on their way to hell. I'm like, huh. You're right, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're just stumbling through life, trying to be happy on their way to hell. That's just, when you dumb it down, that's what it is. They're trying to be as happy as they can on their way to hell. And my job is to come up and say, hey, you know where you're headed? Hell. What? That's offensive. You're right, it is. You want to know how you don't have to be there anymore? Christ made a way. You know, and share the real gospel with them. The church isn't relevant because we don't want to share that kind of gospel because we're like, well, that might offend them and might run them off. Well, at least they know the truth. I'd rather tell somebody the complete truth, offend them, and then walk away mad and know the truth for the rest of their life than to tell them, you know, all you got to do is, you know, live the best you can and, you know, God will help you out and, you know, and that's not the real gospel. And then they've got this false hope that they're going to end up in heaven and they're going to split hell wide open. You know, and obviously I'm not saying go out and just be offensive with the way you share the gospel, but I'm saying I would rather call it like it is. Get down to where the rubber meets the road and tell them the truth and then leave a little bit offended and know the truth than to tell them something that kind of tickles their ears and then die and go to hell with a false hope of something that they didn't really have. Right? Man, I wanted to finish the six things, the six good things out of Samuel. We will. I promise I'll do it next week. But I was like, as I was reading this, I'm like, man, that's good stuff. Like, right out of the story that makes us who we are. And so, anyway, if nothing else, God was talking to me today. So, there you go. Done on time. A couple minutes to spare. Anybody got any questions? We'll pray and we'll get out of here. All right, let's pray. Father, God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just the hope of the resurrection. God, it's just awesome to be called the son of the king. Lord, I do pray that as we walk out of this room that we would find somebody we don't know, shake their hand and smile at them, and just let them know that God loves them. And so, Lord, I do pray that this church would not be one that turns people away. Lord, that we would be one that just wants to serve you. Lord, I pray that this class, that would be the motto of this class, that we would be just a class that's on fire for you, and we're known for nothing other than that. So, Lord, I pray you just use us this week, send us out as lights in a dark world. Lord, use us with our families today as we go and spend time with people. I pray that we just show ourselves as Christians, and just not only with the words that we speak, but the way that we live our lives. So I pray that you would just be glorified. I do pray for those that are hurting and the different things that are going on. Lord, I pray that the Passpoint class would lift all those things up in prayer, and that you would just be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. All right, see you guys next week.